Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. Welcome back to the English with Kirsty podcast. And today I have a returning guest. You already know her because she's been on the episode we did about the Conversation Club. So welcome back. Maybe you could tell us something about yourself, who you are and what you do.
Hello, Kirsty. I'm Maria Virginia Barros. I'm Portuguese and living in Portugal. And now I'm a full-time freelance translator, subtitler, and also consecutive interpreter in business meetings.
Okay, so let's tell us something about you going right back to the beginning, because I know a bit more about you, especially now, because you did a presentation for us at the club. And tell us more about this little girl who liked to write when she was a child and what happened to her as she grew older.
Yeah, it is true. When I was a child, and when I learned to read, I was so happy. I think it was one of the most important moments in my life, finding that I was able to read and finding everything I could read about. And I'm from a small town in the north of Portugal. Now it is a touristic spot, but that time it was a valley in the middle of the mountains, far away from everywhere, and a very bucolic place. And maybe because of that, there were a lot of poets, and all over the place there was poetry in the fountains and the walls. From the local writers. And when I learned how to read, I loved to read the local poetry.
Okay.
And read every day with my mother when I was walking with my mother. And I learned, and then after that I learned how to write, and for me it was way easier to write poetry than to write texts, regular texts. And when the teacher at the basic school asked me to write about those boring writing exercises, oh, write something about the spring, write about the sun, I found that so boring that I started to write quatrains with rhyme and rhythm. And the teacher was absolutely surprised because I was a children. I barely know how to write and read. And I was writing poetry. And she was lovely and very important person in my life. She picked my poems and went to the local newspaper to publish them. And so young, I started to write for newspaper. At the time, I found that so normal. Now, I laugh about the situation because
what people normally do at all. How old were you when you did that?
Well, I was 7, and
wow.
The first poems was the teacher, but then I use it to go there every month. I guess it was a monthly newspaper to give them the poem for them to publish, like a writer. I don't know. They must be laughing, but they always published my writings, and I was well known in my hometown because of that. And that's how it started. I decided, oh, I'm going to be a writer. I'm a writer, and this is my future. So when I went to the uni, I had to choose my graduation at university. Obviously, I didn't have any doubt. and I choose Portuguese, modern language and literature to learn more about my language and to learn a lot other French in this situation, because I started to learn English at 10, and I already had a good level of English at the time, and I want to get another language to speak, and I chose French, and I started to study deeply the Portuguese language because I wanted to be a writer. Yeah, wanted to
But
be
that's
a writer.
not quite what happened, though, is it? What changed for you? How, I guess you still worked with languages. Were you working with multiple languages in your career, or did that come later?
During the graduation, as I dive deeply in the language learning and start to study the writers, the poets and writers, I felt really humble about what I was doing until that moment, and I quit writing because the famous imposter syndrome at the time, it had name, but it was that I thought, no, I'm not a writer. I don't have this level of knowledge, or I'm not this artist. I'm not good doing that. So I quit to write. During university times, I didn't write poetry, just the works for the teachers, but not poetry. And I invested a lot in the part of the languages because I thought, no, I can't be a writer. And everyone told me, no, you writing is not a profession, you have to find a job. So I used the language, French and English, to find a job when I finished the graduation, and I went to the corporate world, and I ended up working as in international business using the French, English, and in the meantime I went to Barcelona to work, and I also studied Spanish. And I spent more than 2 decades working in that area, traveling and communicating, always writing and translating. But it was not the primary activity. The goal was to set up distribution networks for companies I was working for, but I had to deal with a lot of documents in foreign language, so I used my skills and my knowledge, but not in an artistic way, just in a business and really technical way, because I was working for manufacturers, so the text was were most part of them really technical or related with laws and contracts. So I was working with language, but not as my main activity. Yeah, my activity was being a business developer for 2 decades, more than 2 decades.
Okay, and in your free time, did you read much in the other languages, for pleasure, or did you only use them
Oh
when you
yeah.
needed?
After the university trauma, the imposter, after surviving to the imposter syndrome, no, I kept reading until today. I read a lot. It's one of my favorite things. And in the meantime, when the blog trend arose, I did a blog and I started to write poetry again. And the blog was really successful at the time. The name is Sítio da Saudade, Saudade site, and it was really a really known blog, and I made a partnership with a good photographer, and I learned how to code in HTML to improve my blog because I always loved technology and this kind of stuff. And I'm saying this because it is important now in my present activity. And yes, I did that connection with the angle through the blog that exists until today, 24 years of 20 years of blog. I started in 2004.
And do you still write for it now, or
Yeah,
yeah?
I still write there, not that often, because now blogs, they don't demand the kind of activity we have, for example, like on LinkedIn, but the blog is still alive and I still have readers on my blog, and I write poetry. I promote poetry from Portuguese poets. It's all about Portugal and Portuguese poetry, mine and others, po or other poets' texts. And I love the blog. I don't want to lose him for spam, so I keep updating it at least once a month. I go there and I put there something because at the time it was important for me, being in the world of business, traveling, planes, hotels, and it was a kind of place to hide, or at least to not lose myself from myself, to keep my essence. Yeah.
Yeah, it's your corner of the internet to go and publish your thoughts, your ideas, and to have something that I think sometimes we need something that isn't work, that isn't linked to our other responsibilities. It's just something for us, and then people can come and be part of that. But it's something that's, like specifically yours. And for anyone who speaks Portuguese, I will be adding this link to the page for our episode, so you can also go and visit the blog as well and read the poetry there. Do you ever write in other languages too, like your own thoughts or poems or creative works?
Yeah.
Did you write anything in
That,
French or
sometimes I
Spanish or
write.
English?
No, I have a pro now I have a problem because no, I'm used to that kind of, not that problem, but when I was working in Spain, I was so surprised because I spent I used to spend the entire day speaking in Spanish, and at night I was thinking in Spanish, and my thoughts were in Spanish. I used it to dream in Spanish, and when I was talking to my family in Portuguese, I was translating Spanish from Portuguese in my mind, And now I have that problem with English. I work a lot in the English-Portuguese pair of translating and subtitling, and my mind is very English focused, and sometimes I don't even find the word. I look like a foreign person, sometimes looking for the right word in Portuguese because I just remember the word in English. And sometimes I write poetry in English, because my mind is completely occupied with English mainly.
Well, that's
So,
not a problem though.
yes.
You can publish this as well, and then your
Yeah,
English
I was
readers can.
thinking because recently I didn't do well a lot, but I created a Substack newsletter, and I thought, no, it's better to write in English. I'm going to try to write poetry in English here to see what happens. So one of these days I will try
Yeah.
to see if I have a decent level to show. to people.
I think sometimes writing is one of the neglected activities, especially okay, when children go to school, you have to write and you have to write your essays and your comprehension exercises, and as well as somebody, an adult doing a language course, I do have written tasks to complete for the course. But I think sometimes we forget that writing is actually a good way to help to develop your language skills or to reinforce what you already know, or to find a way to use that. Because I one of the earlier podcast episodes in the summer was about an activity, writing something every day in your additional language, more for people that aren't using it every day and have to use it every day. But and I've started doing that as well. It's not to show anyone, it's not for public, but it's to get my brain into the habit of doing that. Because when you get used to doing that, it actually helps with speaking as well. The only way to speak is to speak, but if you write more, it gets your brain thinking in that other language regularly and creating content. Okay, that's written, not spoken, but it's also a way to have that habit built into your day. And then when you need to speak the words, they come a bit faster sometimes, because you're already training your mind to create. So you're not really in that position where you need to do that, because you're using English anyway all the time. But I'm just thinking that would be nice to see how the style is different, maybe, or if another part of your personality comes out when you're writing in English, or if you have different parts of you that come out in the different languages.
Absolutely. Yeah, writing is always an essential exercise, because our brain is so elastic. So if we don't train it in several ways, we are wasting its abilities. And writing, handwriting, writing with a notebook and a pen is a good exercise in several ways. Precisely because of things you just said, but also as other kind of exercise, even to in terms of mindfulness, or helping us release the tensions and the situations we didn't dealt so well during the day, and putting that on a paper is a very good exercise. People should do it at least one page. Make that an habit, and then that have a that positive and more practical point of view, that the more you write, the better you write, the better you think. And so I'm always, yesterday I went to my hometown to participate in an event, and I met some old friends from the school when I was a teenager, and we were having that kind of conversation. Oh, what are you doing now? Where do you live? And they remember that I used it to write, obviously. And they asked me, it was so funny. I wake up today thinking about that. Do you still write? And I had a bag in my I had a bag with me with a book, a notebook, and a pen. Because as I knew I would have some free time between the moments of the event, I thought, oh, I'm going to next to the river of my hometown, and maybe I write something there. And I opened the bag and I told them, I'm exactly the same girl.
Some
Look,
things don't change.
what I have inside this bag: a notebook, a pen, and a book. So I'm the same. Life took a long path, and I did the path around that girl dreams, but I'm there again. And I
Yeah.
work on that. And this is so, I feel happy with what I learned. And I don't regret what I did in terms of career. I learned a lot. I knew, I visited a lot of countries. I met a lot of interesting people. Some of them I'm friends for life. I opened my mind to other cultures. So it was important what I did when I was in corporate world for sure. And somehow that prepared me to the moment that I'm living now, where I feel really happy inside, you know. I told my colleagues I'm not going to be rich with my actual activity, but I feel so happy and I'm so rich.
Yeah, it's we can
I'm a
get caught up
wealthy
in
person.
measuring success in other people's using other people's standards or measurement of success. But if that's not what you're looking for, then
Yeah.
there's no point because that's not what you're intending to do. And I think it's true that you can learn. I think traveling is definitely good, meeting different people, experiencing different cultures, and that is preparing you or has prepared you for the work you're doing now with thinking about your courses, and you have people from many countries taking the courses, and you know you're meeting lots of people through your new activities. But at the same time, some things don't change. The parts of us that are who we are, like whether we like to write or whether we like languages or whether we like talking or whatever it is, some things
Yeah.
will always be who we are. And I was just thinking about you saying with your book, your notebook going down to the river, that's also a way to get away from screen time for people who spend so much time on the screen. It's a way to do something that isn't okay. If you want to use that text, you have to copy it out afterwards, but it's another way to get away from the screens. But even for typing, I can't write like that, so I type everything. But I was just noticing that when I started doing this, well, it's 100 words a day, but it's usually more than 100 because I never stop at 100. I have too much to say. But when I started doing that, it's my typing in Portuguese has got faster as well because of the additional letters and the accents. And I type quickly, but at the beginning, I was like, oh, come on, Kirsty, you can write faster than this, because it was new for me. And it's like your hands get used to it. It's like the muscle memory of knowing where the shapes of the words in the other language and where the letters are, where the accents are, so you can actually speed up your writing, both thinking about the words that you want to write and actually physically writing it. If you just practice regularly, then you have many benefits from.
Yeah, for sure. Is another way of writing, is another kind of exercise, not with a notebook, not with a pen, but yes, I see what you mean, and for sure is like this kind of activity, like creative, but at same time mechanical, because we need to use our hands, is a training for the brain. We start to be faster, and that is important because, as you were talking about, the time we spend in front of the screen, and I think that turns our brain really lazy, and we let parts of the brain die. And this kind of activity, like writing, any way of writing, the way you do, the way I do, is really important. It's more important than we could think, because it keeps us, our brain is, its abilities are infinite, and we don't use them, not even a small amount of what we can do. And I think this kind of training is, I know I'm not explaining it very well, but I read something about this recently, and the Nordic countries now are quitting of the digital books and going back to the traditional ways of teaching with books and writing and so on, because they realize that is a really important part of our brain development as well. So yeah, I
Okay.
defend that those theories.
Yeah, and I think as well it's interesting to always try and find new things to do, new ways to use our skills to keep life interesting, especially for things that you don't have to do. Because a lot of people who are listening to the podcast are learning English, or they want to improve their English, or they're learning other languages as well, because there are people here who are interested in the tips that can be applied to other languages. We've talked about writing. Is there anything else that has helped you as someone who has learned multiple additional languages, either people or resources or techniques that have helped you as well? Can you think of anything?
When I was dentist and I started studying English and passionate about communication and knowing what was being said, I used it to do one thing that now, once in a while, I teach foreign people. It's not the thing I love the most, but sometimes I have some people to teach Portuguese language, and I still use that method.
I didn't know you did
And
that. Okay. That's
yeah,
interesting.
but because I don't do it, just when people really ask me, because I had training, I learned phonetics, so I know precisely how to teach people to pronounce the weird sounds we have, the nasal vowels and the nasal sounds we have in Portugal. I'm very aware of that because I had training about that in the university. So I think I'm a good Portuguese teacher, but that's not what I want to do. But when I teach foreign people, I use the method. I use it when I was a child, 10, 11 years old, about music. Listening to the lyrics and then try to reproduce them or find the written lyrics and understand what is being said. And I learned a lot of English like that. I still remember the lyrics of songs that nobody no longer listen to them, like that, because it was the music that I had in my house from my sisters. They were older than me, and like Neil Young, and nobody can believe I still can sing correctly the lyrics of Neil Young. Nobody knows who is Neil Young. I think maybe already die. I'm not sure, but I teach the students, the foreign students, through a lot through that method. I choose a topic for the class, and then I search mu for music on YouTube or Vimeo with subtitle, with captions in Portuguese, to help people listening and reading at the same time. That's why I love so much subtitling and captioning, because through that, this mix of sound, image, and written word is a very good way to learn and to learn vocabulary and structures of the sentences. So that approach for me through music, but can be movies or series or whatever, but through music is really a good way, because I remember when I started the first time I started to learn English, for example, for English alphabet, I learned the alphabet singing,
Like you did when you were a child.
and until today I'm perfect spelling a word in English, because A B C D E F G H I J K L M N O P, so with the music behind the words, you learn more easily. It helps. So
Yeah,
that's
the
it.
singing is a way to, it's like repetition, isn't it? When you're singing the song with the, you know, if you want to sing as well in the other language, that can help you to remember the words, but also you're using the words. You don't have to create the sentences or the phrases yourself because they're already there in the song, and you just focus on your pronunciation or how it sounds, or just doing it for fun. And if you do things for fun, then you are more likely to keep at it, to keep motivated to do it, but also to learn something as well. And I noticed the other day that I don't have Spotify, for example, but Apple Music, you can turn on the lyrics as it's playing as well. So you can, if you don't catch something, you know, in the past we had to try and listen and listen. What was that? What was that? But now you can just turn on the lyrics, and that's really good if you want to understand them or to sing along. To find things that you like as a student, you know, like artists or types of music, you know, there's so many different types of music available. Find something that you like, or even like a friend showed me something that's in your range, because if it's in your range, it's going to be easy for you to sing it, and then you can do that. So yeah, I like that tip, and I definitely suggest that other people who are looking for ways to improve do that as well. I know you're involved in different things at the moment, so where is the best place for people to find you if they want to connect with you or find out more about what you're doing?
As you know, we see each other every day on that famous trendy social media LinkedIn, and usually people send me messages through LinkedIn and I answer, but I also add under my profile the link to my landing page, and there they have a form to contact me or my email. So I'm very easy to find because I left all over my profile a lot of ways to reach out to me and to contact me, and I always answer even to the silliest questions sometimes show up
I don't
on
always answer
LinkedIn.
those. You're nicer than I am. No, if it's a genuine question, I
No,
won't go.
and normally, you know, because there's a lot of people from countries outside Europe. They approach, and I see my colleagues, the other people complaining about this with very badly written texts and asking for unreasonable things, but I can help to feel that I live in Europe. I had lucky. We don't choose where to born, nah. And I live in Europe. I live in somehow in a privileged area of the globe. And the other people sometimes they don't have that lucky, and they don't have the tools we have to communicate and to ask for help or for advice. So unless people are being unpolite or aggressive, then that barely happen. I always try to help. Sometimes it's boring, and I already have a kind of model. Oh, teach me how to look for a job in translation. I did a small guide with points, and I always answer,
Templates are
unless
good.
they, because when improve your LinkedIn profile like this, like that, do this, do that, improve your CV, a volunteer to have a reference to put in your CV. I don't lose anything if I tell this to people and I don't face them. Oh, they are so ignorant. I don't have that kind of look towards other people. I just think they live in a country where they don't have the same resources same access to the information as I do, so why not? So, yeah, I do that.
Okay,
So far, yeah.
so you're open for conversations, and
Yeah.
you've also been on other podcasts. You've been on the Language Worker podcast a couple of times. So if people hear because they like podcasts, and I imagine that the podcast listeners are, you can also check out those episodes as well, and check out the Language
Yeah.
Worker anyway, but check out those specifically because we're talking today. And do you have any courses coming up soon? I know you are involved in running a course. Do you have one soon for anyone listening in September 2024? Or
No, it will
no?
be the second edition. It will be in October. And yeah, I'm happy about I already did one in the beginning of this year, and the upcoming one is second edition in October, and is 1 week, 2 hours each day, and in the end people will be able to use the tool, the subtitling tool, but also to build a portfolio from scratch without any experience, but start to build their portfolio. Also talk about language exercises we have to do when we subtitle. It's a very comprehensive course again, and very useful. In the previous one, the reviews were I found what I was looking for. Other translators that wanted to start offering subtitling services, in the end they felt they achieved the goal of using the tool and doing subtitles properly. So here we go again next October with the second edition of the course, and with this one will have the updates on the tool, because the tool is always subtitle edit is always being updated by the community. So that's it, what we are going to do.
Okay, so keep following you on LinkedIn if people want to find out about future. If people listen to this too late for this, then they can follow you, and then they'll find out about any future editions of the course if they're wanting to sign up for the course. So, thank you for that. Thank you for your time and sharing your experiences. And yeah, if you decide to add anything else, like an English blog or newsletter, let me know and I will add it to your page. There's nothing like accountability now you've said it. So no. If you do that, we can always add it in later. And yeah, have a wonderful weekend because we're recording on a Friday. And yeah, see you soon on LinkedIn.
You soon, Christian. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Oh, thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.